This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Well, he's in great shape. I think we can see that. And, you know, certainly has had the stuff, the pedigree, the performance to take a step forward. And I think he's had some health frustrations the last couple of years that hopefully don't happen this year. So I would very, very bullish on him and expect a great season from him.
That was Mike Elias a couple weeks back, and we bring that back to you in light of the fact of what happened today. Spring training baseball, Grayson Rodriguez started for the Orioles. He had a significant drop in his velocity today. He averaged about 93.2 on the gun with his fastball, topped out at 95.3, and he came out of the game after giving up a double to Christian Vasquez on an 89.5 four-seam fastball. That's he pitched less than two innings. His official outing today, an inning in the third, three hits, one run, one walk, one strikeout.
We've talked a lot about Grayson Rodriguez throughout his minor league career, throughout the Orioles' first mistake with him, which was not getting him up here when he was ready for it and let him continue to pitch in meaningless games and not fucking get hurt down there. We talked about his sort of durability or how much he has or hasn't been built up going into last year and what a jump he was going to be expected to make. And he did make it in terms of his productivity, but durability, again, was an issue. And when you build your staff around and talk up kids who've never pitched one full season in the majors without an injury, and you start talking about them being your ace and you start building your ball club without much of a safety net, it comes potentially at a price. And we had major reservations about Grayson Rodriguez being able to get through this season without a setback of some sort, whether it's related to the issues with his back and the muscles there from the past, whether it's just because he hasn't really ever had a clean season now for about 3 years. Whether it's just because this is what happens with young pitchers, and we've seen it with Wells and we've seen it with Bradish. And when guys are asked to do more, especially around here, we saw it with Batista. It tends to come at a significant price. And what I can't figure out is why this kid was able to throw 33 pitches when it was clear, if you just look pitch by pitch at the StatCast data, that he wasn't right from the giddy-up. Like, he threw 15 fastballs. He threw fastballs below 90 and stayed in the game. Like, what?
I'll say this. The 89.5-mile-per-hour fastball where Vasquez doubled, he faced two more batters, like, after that. He faced two
what
more
is
batters.
That? Hit a guy,
and then got pulled. Yeah, how could you not pull
if
him
if you've built it this way,
that?
And you're talking him up as Corbin Burns is gone, but he could be an ace. How the hell is he not out of there at the first time? All the analytics that they have, all the data that they have, how could I watch on StatCast and be like, this guy is something off?
Maybe it's because Brandon Hyde just got there because he was late because of an accident on the highway. Maybe they had, you know, who's running the show if Brandon Hyde's late?
Look, Mike Elias runs the show. I don't know. Like, again, I'll be real interested to see what comes out of this. But again, this is on the heels of Kyle Bradish coming out 2 weeks ago saying I pitched through significant pain for a good chunk of that season before they finally shut me down when my arm fell off. So this is who's entrusted, right? This is who you're looking at and saying they played a weird kind of game with their closer until he finally got the surgery later than he probably should have. We know the game they played with Bradish. We know how they yo-yoed Tyler Wells and didn't seem to give much concern about what was asked to him, and the inevitable happened there. We know John Means did not have a successful return from Tommy John under these guys. So that's the prism that I'm looking at this through, and I hope it's not bad, but there's a lot of spidey senses telling you this ain't close to normal.
The alarms are sounding right now, and I know that some people on Twitter are bringing up Grayson's quote from a week ago saying
he's
not going to throw hard. He's not... Ben put it best prior to the show. When you see the number 8 next to Grayson Rodriguez.
That's a cry for help.
Yes, in terms of fastball. Because last year he averaged 96.1 miles per hour on fastball. That's a 7 mile per hour difference.
He's working on stuff.
Whew.
He's working. By the way.
He's working on an IL stick.
Yeah, if this is serious and... You know, let's hope it's not, but man, if you're busted
down this far. Whatever
this
is, I got news for you. He's not pitching 5 days from now, and he's probably not pitching 5 days from then.
Yeah, that and so if he's not ready for opening day, which I think is realistic at this point, you're talking about a pitching staff that was already going into the season, and you're thinking, okay, they got back-end depth, but there's nothing near the top, but they're selling this guy as the ace who's yet to finish a season, and now he might not start a season, so what the heck's this rotation look like? Hey, your boy Kay Povich might be in the starting rotation.
And not the way I wanted it to happen.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm just going to throw this out there, okay? Because I live in the real world. I don't live in a bubble where I'm spoon-fed stuff and I regurgitate it to fans who are asked to carry the freight financially. What do you think if you're the San Diego Padres who have a real GM who knows how to make major league trades and they want one of your starters? Do you think Mike Elias has a better hand right now than he had 24 hours ago? Like, if you didn't want to pay the freight to make real trades and be a big boy GM before your ace, you called him that, before your ace got hurt, what do you think the price for Dylan Cease or Michael King is right now? What do you think?
And now you're more desperate.
All the other GMs are out for blood. They know how desperate you are. Whatever the price of doing business just went up.
If you don't like to play in the deep end of the pool in the best of times, homie, you definitely you'll drown. You'll continue to drown if this is how you play your cards.
Call him homie?
Yeah. You want me to call him something else?
No, homie's good. Homie's good. I like
the
that.
One word.
You guys are close, so you call homie.
There's two I'm thinking of.
Yeah, trust me.
No, three. Three. Ivy League's the first two.
Yeah, I'm well aware. Well, just Orioles and Twins are playing a spring training baseball game. We'll get you updated on that in just a little bit. But not good news surrounding Grayson Rodriguez. And where does this pitching staff go if this is serious? We have a huge show today. It's a Wednesday. It's a short show because Maryland basketball right here on 105.7 The Fan, they play Michigan at 6:30. So pregame coverage starts at 5:30. We'll talk to, I think, friend of the show now, Gene Wong. Absolutely. Covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Joins us at 2:30. Tim Murray from VSiN, his best bets at 3:30. And Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Is he still optimistic the Ravens are going to re-sign Ronnie Stanley? We're going to ask him that at 4:30.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't know if Brandon Hyde will make it to the ballpark today or not.
He's there. He just got there.
Woohoo.
There was a car accident.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Isn't he supposed to be there like 5
in the morning? Yeah. I mean, like, okay. I don't know. Look, I have a hard time keeping up with what's going on at Coca-Cola Drive. I have no idea what's happening on the back streets of Sarasota.
Timeout, though. That's a major thoroughfare, Coca-Cola Drive.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So I don't know about Sarasota traffic at 5:45 a.m. on a Wednesday. So who am I to cast aspersions? But yeah, the skipper or somebody will have some sort of update or non-update about Grayson Rodriguez. We will get you all of that through the show. We've got some thoughts on the Ravens salary cap, and you could do some pretty easy gymnastics and create as much room as you want for them. We'll explain the reality of that situation. And yes, we will preview that Terps Wolverines contest throughout the show as well.
In light of the Grayson news, we flipped the top of the show. We're gonna get an in-game update from Sarasota coming up next and talk about this rotation a little more. Is that what we're doing? Just yes. Wanted to make sure. Yeah, we'll continue talking to Orioles and Twins playing right now. How's it going? We're going to tell you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Next year on The Fan.
We're definitely got more veterans in the room and more veterans in the pitching staff. All these guys are wonderful men. Between Eflin and Charlie, they got 9 kids. They're great fathers. They've been around a little bit, and so it's nice to have that sort of experience.
At least 10 kids that we know of now, because we know sources tell us that Sagano has at least one child. Alas, Grayson Rodriguez has spoken. Before we get to the veteran aspect of this rotation, one of the good things about spring training baseball is guys talk right after they're done. So according to Matt Wyrick, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, said Grayson says he felt, quote, sluggish on the mound today. Didn't attribute it to anything physical or mechanical, but, quote, couldn't really get behind the ball today. Said he felt the same way warming up in the bullpen. He also said he wasn't throwing at max effort yet. According to Rockabacco, he also said if it was a regular season game, he would have fought through it. So what do you take from that?
Not much. I
guess it's good news it's not physical.
Well, does he know? I mean, I don't know.
Nothing hurt.
He knows.
It's probably good news that he was at least available to talk to the media. I take that as a good sign. The logic that he's giving out is odd, but the fact that he's talking, I would say, is a good sign.
Someone like a Grayson Rodriguez, without trying to air it out, is not throwing in the 80s. Like, sluggish, you ate a bad fish taco, whatever.
They're plentiful down there.
I don't think it manifests itself that way. Look, everything about this is odd. Going to him saying, I didn't feel right and wasn't throwing right in the bullpen.
Here's another read on it. Rakabatko just said that, according to Grayson, he said, couldn't get behind the ball, even in pen. We already heard that. Lower velo, again by design, will let it eat later.
This is not normal,
okay? Like, that's all I'm going to say. This is not normal. I almost feel like trying to stifle yourself that much, you could get hurt. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I could do a Tommy John surgery, but a guy who could hump it up there, I'm old enough to remember going to minor league games and people coming to buoy with gas tanks,
yes,
and the buoy gun is definitely notoriously high. But seeing this kid at 101 and 102, like, not insignificantly, like, I'm not going to say regularly, but like, nobody was surprised when it happened. And you're telling me he's ratcheted it back 10 miles an hour because he couldn't get behind the ball and he's saving it. I'm not a kinesiology expert. That strikes me as odd. The fact that everybody who covers this team immediately is looking at him in real time with their eyes and on StatCast saying this ain't normal. And him saying, yeah, this is how it was in the bullpen too. And then it takes him getting racked by Vasquez and hitting somebody to yank him out on 33 pitches.
I will say, to Bone's point, the fact that he spoke, and maybe it's because Hyder just got there. if you're just tuning in, there was a car accident on the highway, and Hyde allegedly just showed up.
And perhaps a car accident in Grayson's pregame bullpen.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago, in the last 10 minutes, he just got to the ballpark, but...
And Freddie Gonzalez, who's a former major league manager, yes, they didn't want as his bench coach anymore.
No.
They replaced him with Robinson Chirinos, a guy who's never coached anything. Maybe wiffle ball, little league, I don't know.
He's coached somewhere, I'm sure.
He just retired like 2 years ago.
He did a summer league type thing.
Maybe his kid.
Oh, okay. Like a summer league.
Yeah. That's the same.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Transferable
coaching's
skills.
Coaching.
Transferable skills, Jason.
Coach one guy, you coached them all. I don't know. It does seem odd, to say the least. I am shocked he spoke. I guess he's saying he feels fine.
I just don't understand why. Dude, you're on this roster. You're either going to be the number one, number two starter. If you aren't fit, like, these games don't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's saying, I had a terrible bullpen before start, and nobody red flagged it, and then I'm out there throwing 89, and nobody red flagged it, and I walk off the mound, and I'm like, well, yeah, I just wasn't feeling good. Yeah. I couldn't get behind the ball, and I just backed way off. Why did we do this? Yeah, why did this happen?
This isn't a dude fighting to make the 26-man roster.
He's working on stuff, Bob.
This is all weird.
I'm just saying, because... I'm an elephant, and I never forget. I'm old enough to remember Kyle Pradish saying some stuff that I thought was absolutely bat bleep crazy for a major league organization just 2 weeks ago, and nobody else in town really talking about it. But, like, so if that's – I'm just – because it's communication, no?
Yes.
This kid was going out there throwing bullpens feeling like junk, throwing major league games feeling like junk, and they ran him out there until he had to get Tommy John. So maybe, and how many pitching coaches they've been through since then? And they keep shuffling the deck. They're geniuses. I know it. Just ask them. They'll tell you. But perhaps there's communication breakdowns in their organization. Perhaps their chain of command isn't up to snuff. And yeah, the skipper not being there is suboptimal.
Yeah. Again, if you're just tuning in, Brandon Hyde just showed up at the ballpark. According to Rakabatko, I want to get the timeline right on this. 17 minutes ago, he arrived at the ballpark.
an hour after first pitch.
Yeah, so, and just to keep you posted, it's in the fifth inning, the game. So 17 minutes ago, he showed up at the ballpark.
That's not something you see every day.
Like, Jason, the manager usually is there hours before a game.
Is this at the Twins?
Yes, it's at Fort Myers.
Is not far from Sarasota.
No. That's why they
play. One of the close ones. Why they play each other all the time.
They play close teams.
He obviously wasn't on the early bus or the late bus.
No.
He was obviously in charge of his own transportation today.
He was on the latest bus.
I mean, the owner's a billionaire now. It's not the Angelos days. No. Could we send a helicopter for him? Could we not get the manager to the game?
Yeah.
Could we not get him to the couldn't get him to the game?
Dropping all the money to upgrade the complex.
Can you ever and granted, we don't pay attention to what happens around baseball, but like this ain't
normal.
Yeah, like I can't remember a manager being late for a baseball game, whether it's regular season or spring training or not. Like those guys are usually at the ballpark.
Family emergency. His wife didn't go into labor.
No.
There wasn't something with his kids. There like
car accident.
And he lives down there.
Yeah. Car accident.
His house is like 10 minutes from the ballpark, right? You hear about it all the time. He lives in Sarasota.
Yeah, he mentions it a lot. Yeah, there was a...
He doesn't know the back roads?
A traffic...
You couldn't get to Fort Myers, homie, in time for the game?
There was a traffic situation in Fort Myers, I-75. A wreck involved two semis.
At what time?
I don't know. This was an hour ago.
We need to start scouring Twitter for traffic updates. What time?
We haven't heard any players being affected.
They're playing.
Supposedly the IHOP down there had a long line this morning. Yeah, yeah. That I think
got caught up.
He got pushed back at breakfast and it extended.
Nice. IHOP.
But yet Adley got there.
Yeah.
He's not there. This isn't an Adley game. Yeah. This is beneath Adley.
He's in the lineup.
They asked Adley to go. It is close though.
Yeah.
Because it's the closest one.
Adley's 1-for-2 today.
It's the closest one.
Yeah, he's catching.
So I don't know if you're going to find Adley in Bradenton.
No.
That would be a big ask.
No, but he's in Fort Myers. He'll show up if they play the Red Sox because the Red Sox stadium is by the Twins.
The manager didn't even have to be there today. So, I mean, anything goes.
Yeah.
They're not running a loose ship over there.
No.
Not at all.
How is the I don't know if we're going off kilter here, but like the fact that the manager wasn't on the bus with the players earlier.
I understand spring training, but I'm thinking like regular season-wise, filling in, having engineer. Like, his press conference prior to the game is like, 4 hours before? More?
It's early.
It's early.
Maybe they did it from I-75.
Open clubhouse is like 2:30.
Loosey goosey. Anything goes. Hey, they've won more regular season games than how many teams the last 2 years? What is it? What is
the
their
entire American
they're trowning
League.
A comp?
That sounds like 2012 through 16.
You do anything you want. You're running numbers like that. Show to the game. Don't show to the game.
Well,
your ace can't throw 90 in the bullpen before the game. Let's run him out there for 33 fake pitches against the Twins and see what happens.
To wrap this up, Grayson says he's fine, just sluggish, and Hyder's there. And Hyder's there. So we're good to go. Manager
Start
is there.
Start printing the playoff tickets now.
Ace in Stephen Jones quotes
nothing
is okay.
To see here.
Yeah.
Hey, we were just saying.
Maybe this is why they don't televise these games.
That's a good point.
You know what, Masson and OSPR, you might be onto something.
You're onto something.
Right? They're playing chess. We're playing checkers.
We don't want to see sluggish Grayson.
We're not sure if the skipper can get to the game. And Grayson can't break 91 in the pen before. Let's not put any of this on television.
We were just saying yesterday, the lack of intrigue in the story.
They shouldn't even let people into these games. Play them behind closed doors, like a Keegan Aiken game.
We were talking to Daniel Allentuck yesterday.
Boring spring training.
They said, we're ramping it up.
We're going to throw them a curveball.
You want to see not boring? Here's not boring. Hey, speaking of not boring, Terps have a big game tonight against Michigan.
They shouldn't let Hyde talk after this game.
Oh, he's got to talk.
No.
He's got to talk.
I don't want to tell you how to run your PR staff. I wouldn't let him talk. Yeah.
We need to talk to Gene Wong. He covers the Terps.
You think Hyde can get back to Sarasota in time for tomorrow's game?
We got to get to Gene. That's next here on The Fan. As you heard in the update, the number 13 Terps are in Michigan to take on 17th ranked Wolverines. That's a 6:30 start, 5:30 pregame coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan. And let's go out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post, and he joins us now. And Gene, thank you as always for joining us. We do appreciate your time. Wild week for the Terps last week. We were there on Wednesday, saw them lose at the buzzer to Michigan State, and then they finally were able to win a game at State College. It wasn't pretty, but what do you think of this Terps team as they head into the Chrysler Center tonight?
Well, it's clear for them, if they win out, they can be as high as the number 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and they're certainly looking for a double bye. they lose tonight, then it gets a little more complicated. It depends what happens to Wisconsin and Purdue. There are other things have to happen, but they control their own path to a double bye, and that's all you can ask for at this time of the year. To get that win against Penn State was huge after that just gut-wrenching loss to Michigan State. You know, a lot of teams would just kind of full tent and go on the road and to a place where they haven't had not won in a long in a decade. They had lost seven straight at Bryce Jordan. To kind of show that kind of grit is what you want to see for a team come March.
Gene, what are you expecting from the battle of the bigs tonight? Because Michigan's got 2 7-footers.
Yeah, you know, Vlad Goldin and Danny Ford are a load, and obviously that's kind of going to be a game. I think in the trenches with Maryland throwing Juju and Derek Queen at them. You know, Michigan is coming off getting drummed against Illinois, and this is Michigan's senior night, so this is going to be a really tall task for Maryland to go into Chrysler and win that game. But you know, they know what's at stake. They're coming off a very inspirational road win, and I'm sure Kevin Woodrow's telling his players, look, we went to Penn State, a place that we had not won in 10 years. They have lost at Michigan. They have not won in Ann Arbor in five games. So it's another place where they have difficulty playing. But all Kevin Woodrow has to tell his players, look, you want to double bind the Big Ten tournament. You want to have a chance to finish as high as number two in the conference. We need to win this game and then worry about what happens Saturday against Northwestern.
You mentioned their big men, but I wonder about their backcourt there in Ann Arbor, Gene. Like you look at some of their turnover numbers and even their turnover numbers at home, turnovers per possession. It can be a problem for them, and we're coming off a game where Juju had six steals himself, right? And we know how active Gillespie's hands are and Queen's hands can be. Could that be an area the Terps can exploit?
100%. They force 14-plus turnovers a game, so they'll get up on you defensively. Certainly their guards are so quick. They're really good one-on-one defenders, but they're a great team defensive unit. And as you mentioned, Juju shot 2 for 10, but he contributed in so many other ways. He got a key rebound down the stretch, career-high 6 steals, 15 rebounds, and Rodney Rice against Penn State was 2 for 13 shooting, right? He had the best defensive player in the conference guarding him some of the time, Ace Baldwin, so that's part of it. But it just shows you they can still win when two of their top scorers are shooting horribly, so and do it on the road. So I expect this to be one heck of a game tonight.
Talking with Gene Wong, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Gene, I want to get back to Rodney in that game Saturday. Yeah. And going into that last shot he took, he was 1 for 12 from the field, he has an open look at a three, but basically pump fakes and takes it in for the poise there to not take what was the open three and get himself a better look and salt the game away in a game where he was 1 for 12 going to that shot. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, and Kevin Willard said, you know, I don't care if Rodney Rice is 0 for 10. I want him with the ball in his hands late in the game if we need a shot. I'm 100% comfortable with him taking it. And that shows you why. I mean, he's a great three-point shooter. We know now, obviously, he had a horrible three-point game against Penn State. But he pump faked and then made a great move, great ball fake, and got an open jumper. And that was a huge shot to kind of help seal that win. So it just shows you, like, kind of the poise and the moxie that Rodney Rice has and Maryland has as a team. Because no matter how poorly you're shooting, when the game is kind of – when the stakes are at the highest, he's comfortable taking that shot, and of course he made it, and then they win that game by 4 points.
Gene, on the season, Maryland's 7th in the country in terms of first-half scoring, but they've had their lowest first-half scoring outputs in back-to-back games. I think that's kind of one of the keys tonight is starting off fast against Michigan. But what do you make of the slow starts the past two games?
Yeah, it's something that I know Kevin Willard remembers. The last time he was at Ann Arbor, I was here too, and I think they were down 19-1 out of the gate, and they lost that game by like 40 points. So I'm sure they remember that Juju Reese was on that team, the only player that was on that team. And I promise you, in the locker room and at practice the last few days, they're going to be talking about, look, Michigan's going to be juiced. It's their senior night. They're going to want to, you know, redeem themselves from what happened in their last game. We have to brace ourselves for a really, really fast, fast start. And from our end, we have to erase the memory of the shooting woes from the Penn State game. And, you know, we have to be the three-point shooting team that we can be. You know, they're going to need Jacoby Gillespie, Rodney Rice, and Sultan Miguel to make some threes out of the gate to kind of give them that confidence, especially on the road. think that could be a big indicator of how well, what it's going to be like down the stretch for Maryland. Because if they find themselves down by double figures in the first half, it's going to be a really, really tough climb to get back into that game.
We're kind of reaching the point where we all step back from, you know, 50,000 feet and assess the sort of landscape as a whole, right, when they set this 68-team field versus kind of living in these conference bubbles for the most part the last few months. Do you have any overriding thought? Like, when I watch, you know, a lot of the SEC, even some of the Big 12, I still don't know that the Big 10 is as athletic, by and large, as a lot of these teams. I don't know if they're as dynamic as a lot of these teams, right? Sparty's the best team in the conference, and they're kicking it old school and trying to keep you from getting to 65. Like, do you have reservations about how this plays out when we get to the big dance?
Now, here's the thing. Coaches love talking about defense, right? You ask any coach in the Big Ten, certainly, as an example, what they value most, and they're going to tell you, you know, getting stops down the stretch and defensive intensity and forcing turnovers, that kind of thing. That's great. But to win in the NCAA tournament, you got to be able to score points. You got to be able to get buckets when you have to have them. Look at Connecticut the past 2 years, right?
Yep.
And Maryland can do that. Maryland is third in the conference in points per game. So they can score the basketball. They can score 100. They've proven that against a Big Ten opponent, okay? So that, to me, is the difference. That they can, if the game's in the 90s, they can play that way too. And we talked about this a couple times a bit on the program, that's why I think they're a dangerous team, because Michigan State can't necessarily score the basketball. Yeah, they can control the tempo and dictate it, which they did against Maryland. But if they're in a game where they're going to have to score 80 points, I'm not sure that's what they want to do.
Gene, before we let you go, we talked about the Terps. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they are a top four seed. So in your opinion, will they have an opportunity to clinch a top four seed on Saturday? Will they get out of Michigan with a win?
It's going to be really, really hard. I mean, Michigan is going to be so jacked. If Michigan had won the previous game, maybe, but on a senior night after coming off a blow-off loss, I mean, Michigan is so talented. I mean, we mentioned they're big guys. They play so well at home. They've only lost twice. It would be an upset if Maryland was able to pull it off tonight.
Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Gene, always great.
Thank you so much
for your time. Enjoy the basketball.
Fellas, we'll talk again, fellas. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Hey, we'll come back. We'll give you our thoughts on this game. Hear from Gary Williams had an interesting thoughts about some of the, blue bloods in the Big Ten Conference.
That's exactly what we should say.
Preview Maryland and Michigan next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I think they worked hard to regain respect. I think they really got hurt when they went out to the West Coast and lost those two games.
Washington, Oregon.
Yeah, and like, you keep waiting for that to happen, because there's some schools, you know, the blue bloods, as they call them, like a Duke, a Kentucky, whatever, they can lose games and not affected much in the polls. But Maryland, it seems like they drop more than they should drop. So I'm just glad to see where they are now, because this is when it counts anyway. All that other stuff in December, January doesn't really matter as you get close to the NCAA tournament.
That's the Hall of Famer, Gary Williams, turned 80 yesterday. Happy birthday, Gary Williams. He was on the Coach's Show this week, and music to Jason's ears as he referred to some of the blue bloods. He mentioned Kentucky. He mentioned Duke. Michigan State would be in that conversation as well. We watched what was fun on Wednesday. Obviously, the game wasn't fun. The finish wasn't fun. But watching Izzo berate the officials like after timeouts.
He knows how to work them.
It was something to see Wednesday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Coach Williams. He's a man after my own heart. That is, he's speaking my truth.
Yes, he is.
And we bring that up because it has been interesting to me. I see Wisconsin, you know, getting up there in the top eight, and people talking about Wisconsin as a 2 or 3 seed a couple weeks ago. Obviously, Michigan's been a top 10 team. And Purdue had their moments before they fell off. And it has been a struggle for the Terps to get into the top 20, let alone now higher. And if they do lose this game, which is obviously a possibility, I wonder how much it would work against them, even though it's a road game against a Michigan team that's been really good at home.
And they're ranked.
That has now lost a couple of games at home and are angry, right? And giving up 90 to Illinois, and Sparty coming back on them and barely beating Rutgers and barely beating Nebraska on the road. I do think it would that they would be penalized significantly for it. It would obviously compromise their ability to get double bye and therefore have ramifications on their overall seeding in the field of 64. So it's a big spot for them. I think Michigan's going to get calls. Like I think I just do. And it would really behoove them to have the kind of first halves they were having a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's why I asked Gene. They're seventh in the country in first half scoring, but they have their two lowest first half scoring outputs over the past couple of games. I think getting off to a fast start is imperative, and something that we were talking to Greg Peterson about yesterday about Michigan. And Gene,
Animal.
Gene mentioned it as well. Michigan turns the ball over 14.3 times per game. That's 21st most in the country, by far and away the most in the Big Ten.
And when you break down home road, because a lot of teams that are like that, it's huge splits between home and road. These guys turn it over at home at the same rate they do on the road.
But hopefully this gives an opportunity for Maryland to get out and run and get points in transition, turning that defense into offense.
What's weird is, and there are many different ways to cook a piece of fish, the Michigan State game offensively was just a rock fight in the first half. They did get off to a quick start at Penn State and then got super cold. They had looks. They had open looks, but couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, Gillespie started the game 7-0. Then I think Miguel had seven straight points at that point, and that's when they cool off.
Yeah, I mean, look, in a perfect world, Miguel and Rodney Rice are both hitting threes early in the game, and I'd like to see Jacoby Gillespie be able to get into this game as a facilitator. And then if these other guys start hitting threes and now he's running off of screens himself and shooting that way, like, I think that's how you start building a bridge to, you know, them having one of, you know, the kind of prolific nights they can have offensively. But I'd love to see both those guys stroking it from the wing early. And you can tell when they're running to a spot before he passes it, it's usually on the wing.
Mm-hmm.
And hitting those threes, I think it sends shivers down the spines of the other team because you know that Gillespie can do that himself.
Obviously, Michigan doesn't have the rebounding prowess that Michigan State has, but they still have 2 7-footers. They cannot have a repeat of last Wednesday when Michigan State's getting offensive rebound after offensive rebound and second chance points.
Hey, Ben, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this one. And yes, Michigan has two bigs, but they're not the bruising bigs like Michigan State.
No, I don't think so. The one thing Michigan can shoot the ball like Maryland can. They shoot percentage-wise not well, but they're knocking down more threes per game than the Terps are. They also have the two bigs. They're not good defensively. Like Michigan State's guys are all bought into that role, where Michigan's guys, they'll do some stuff offensively but aren't going to limit Derek Queen and Juju enough. I do think Danny Wolf's play has declined a little bit. Everybody saw him. He was dominating early on in the conference, and everybody was shocked just the way he handles the ball and everything. But he started going down a little bit, and that could be a big thing here. We've seen them play worse as he has, so hopefully that's a difference maker. But I think the matchup for Wolf will be Derek Queen, because Queen will be outside, where I think Vladdy will be inside with Reese.
So Maryland is now, according to some books, a 2.5-point dog in this game tonight, 6:30 start, 5:30 pregame coverage. Jason, you going to dabble on this
one
at all?
Not a dog in Gray Peterson's line.
No. That's a good point.
No, they're not. And I when it got to two, I did take Maryland on the money line this morning. I see a path to them winning this game. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think they're going to be able to win this game coming from behind. I just don't think that's going to be in the cards. And Michigan has been great in close and late situations, and the Terps have not. So I want to see them win the first half. I want to see them be able to play with a lead in the second half. Because if they do, this Michigan team has started to find ways to lose themselves. And I think Michigan could become their own worst enemy, especially that backcourt that gets a little hyper, that gets it. Like, if Willard has a second half lead and can press their backcourt, I think Maryland's in really good shape. If Maryland's playing from behind and that's a whole, and the Wolverines can bleed the clock if they want, that's a whole different scenario.
Are you still feeling good about it, Ben?
I am. I feel pretty good. And another thing with Michigan, they're similar to the Terps, where a little bit more scoring from the bench, but they don't have a ton of guys running off the bench playing tons of minutes. They rely on a lot of their starters like the Terps do.
Bone, how are you feeling about this one?
I'm a little scared, I'm going to be honest.
This would be, it's just such a huge swing game for them. And getting the double bye would be massive because unlike March Madness where you get the day off in between, it's back to back to back. So I think it's going to be tight. I think that Maryland is going to come out stronger in the first half than they have over the past couple of games. I would like to see them win a tight game. I'm not going to say it with my chest, though.
Terps have had back-to-back subpar offensive performances. I think they get off the schneid offensively tonight. I think they're going to be able to create some turnovers. It's not going to be a blowout by any stretch because Maryland doesn't really play those kind of games, but I do think they set up the opportunity to get themselves a double bye on Saturday against with a win against Northwestern by beating Michigan tonight. Remember, that's a 6:30 tip. We're done a little early. 5:30 pregame coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan. And coming up next, a little purple rain in the forecast. And a lot of moves already being made as the new league year is next week. The legal tampering period starts early next week. Teams are getting stuff done. How can the Ravens create themselves some cap space? Well, we're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.